Have your Bible turned back to Exodus chapter 20. We want to begin on the fourth commandment this morning. We will take probably longer on this one than we have the others so far and probably the others that are to follow, simply because out of all of the commandments, this is the one that has been discussed the most with the idea that it is no longer valid in the New Testament era. And I can assure you, though we will take longer on this than the other nine commandments, we still will not exhaust the subject. And we will not say everything that has already been said on it, and I will not say anything new. I can assure you of that. But still, we want to look at it, and look at it hopefully in light of the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament. Instead of beginning at the beginning, I'll just read the verses that are connected with this and begin at verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor in thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. The word Sabbath simply means rest. Just a rest. God in His creation ordained that men should rest. Some people have a work ethic and it's kind of hard for them to rest. They always think they have to be doing something. But the Scriptures plainly teach us that man needs to rest. It's good for man. It's good for animals to rest. I don't know. I don't think that I have it mentioned in my notes, but several years ago I read a little article or tract or something to the effect that that several studies have been made with reference to the working of animals, with reference to machinery, and with reference to soldiers in the army. And it was found that given one day of rest, that soldiers marching were able to march further in a week's time by giving a day of rest than they could by just simply going 7 days without it. It is found that machines as a whole would last longer if given a time of rest than otherwise, and that farm animals, evidently this was done in a longer period ago than today in the history, but farm animals were able to do more work on a given basis and time by resting one day in seven. And I believe that to be a genuine study, because I believe that God takes care of His creation in such a way that it is time for man to rest occasionally. But that's what the word Sabbath means. No fancy definitions to it. It just simply means rest. Now there are various views and ideas about what's called holy days. holy days. Or, if you look at it in another way, you call them holidays. Holidays, holy days, whatever you want to call, and there are all kinds of holy days. There's the Jewish holy days, and they're called the Jewish Sabbaths, plural, such as Passover, the Day of Atonement, Pentecost, and the Feast of First Fruits, and so on. So we have these that are called Jewish Sabbaths. You have Roman Catholic Sabbaths, such as Passover, which the Roman Catholics called Easter, and then you have others that are called Good Friday. You have St. Patrick's Day. You have Christmas. You have Lent, and all other types of Roman Catholic holidays. And then you have what's called the Saturday Sabbath or the Seventh-day Sabbath individuals. There are people that are Seventh-day Sabbath. There are Seventh-day Baptists. Seventh-day Baptists are a group of Baptists that believe that the Lord's Day is still the seventh day. You have people like that. And then you have the Sunday Sabbath, which is called the Lord's Day. And we'll look at that a little bit later. And then you have civil Sabbaths, Memorial Day. Labor Day is coming up, 4th of July, and Thanksgiving, and things like that. Those are what's called days of rest and in various ways. But if you'll notice in this commandment, it's not talking about all of those other Sabbaths. It's talking about one in particular. It's called one day in seven. Says, remember the Sabbath day, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. There's one day that's considered to be a day of rest, and we are to keep that day of rest holy. It's not a rest that man is to do for his own selfish benefits. I remember when I was a child, the town in which we lived close to had three drug stores. Those three drug stores did not open every Sunday. They rotated. They rotated. One drug store was open one Sunday. The next Sunday, the other one was open. And the next Sunday, the other one was open. And outside of the drugstore, there was nothing else open. As I became a teenager, and by the time I was running around in my sinful pleasures, the drive-ins began to be open, and the movie theaters were open. They were opened also earlier, began to be open on the Lord's Day as well. Today, it is hardly any different than any other day in society. Hardly any different. Several years ago, back when I was at Grace Chapel, we had a young lady that was got a job at Walmart. And she got the job with the idea that she would not have to work on the Lord's Day, but eventually they forced her into it like they usually do. And she said, now this was back in the 80s, so you're, I want to say about 10 years ago, so that's further back than that. But she said then that it was the busiest day of the week. That they made more money on Sunday than they did any other day of the week. Now this is 80s, that's about 25 years ago now. 20 to 25 years ago. You can only imagine what it is today. Alright? Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. is to be kept holy. And notice what he says. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Man is to work 6 days, not 5 days. Work 6 days. The labor industry would like to work 5 days and be off 2. They're even talking about 4 days and be off 3. And so, all of that. Now, whatever the world may do, we may have to adapt to that. But God has given us 6 days to do all our work. Sometimes we say that we're so busy we don't have time to get everything done. Well, the problem is we're trying to do more than what God has given us. We're trying to do more than what God has given us. And I do not know how to always divide out the time schedules. I have preached more than one time of how difficult it is to try to figure out how to use your time as an employee, as a minister, as a husband, as a father, and every other relationship that there is that God has called man to do. And each individual has to work on that the best that they know how before God. But God has given us 6 days to get our work done. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Notice, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. And so he tells who it belongs to. It belongs to not only the people of God, it belonged to the people of God's servants. They might not have been Israelites. And it belonged to the people of God's animals. And it belonged to the strangers that were not even servants, that just visited among the people of God. And so we come back to the fact that he's talking about this one particular Sabbath. And it says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day." Now that ought to help you on creation. It didn't say that God created for 6 billion years and then he rested 1 billion years. It didn't say that he created, any other thing. 6 literal 24-hour days God created, and then he rested. Now, the Lord didn't get tired. He didn't have to rejuvenate his energy, but he did cease. He stopped from his creation, and then it says that the Lord blessed the Sabbath, the Sabbath day, which he said was the seventh day. He said he blessed it and hallowed it. God blessed 1 day in 7 and he hallowed it. Is there a continuation of that? Well, we will look at that as we go on. I believe it is for today, and I will try to show that from the Scriptures. But let's go back to Genesis and let's read that as well. In Genesis chapter 2. See, what we're going to see is that the resting 1 day in 7 did not begin at Mount Sinai. It began at creation. This is a creation ordinance that was reinstituted with Israel at Sinai. Just like God being worshipped, there should be only one God, that God's name should not be blasphemed, that murder is wrong, stealing is wrong, covetousness is wrong. And all of the other commandments we have seen so far, those that we studied, and we will see all the others afterward, as well as this one, that they were not just first instituted in Exodus chapter 20. They were creation covenants. They are moral commandments that is good for the creation. Genesis chapter 2, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it." That means He hallowed it. That's what the word sanctified. He made it holy. There is a day that is holy unto God. He made it holy. He sanctified it because that in it He had rested from all the work which God created and made. So we see at the beginning, God set aside one day and He sanctified it. Israel was commanded to observe the Sabbath. We saw that in Exodus. We'll see it also in Deuteronomy. Let's turn to Deuteronomy and see where God gave the law a second time. In Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 12. "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it." See, we are to keep the Sabbath day. We're to make it holy. "As the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and that thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember..." Now there's a good key that we'll come back to later, Lord willing. "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day." One of the things that we're to do on the Lord's Day is to remember God's deliverance. See, God told Israel, "I'm giving you one day in seven that you remember how I delivered you from the land of Egypt." Now we have, and you're going to see where I'm going, we have the Christian Sabbath today, which is the first day of the week, I believe, and we'll try to show that. And God has given us this Christian Sabbath to remember Christ and to remember what He has delivered us from. That's what we're going to see. That's where we're going. We're going to see that God has given the Sabbath, that we are to cease from our work that we are to do throughout the week and try to turn our minds and our energies to focus upon the things of Christ, not politics, not the weather, not the sports, or things of that nature. Our conversations should be around the things of the Lord, and our mindset should be around the things of the Lord. And what we read and what we study should center around the things of the Lord. This is what this day is for. It is a time of restoring our souls. It is a time of rest from the things of the world. And it's hard sometimes to get all of our thought processes cleared up in this way. If you have a hard day of work, or you have a project going on at work and you're having difficulty or having to think about that, Sometimes it's hard to even sleep at night because you're waking up all throughout the night trying to figure out some niche in the project. And if we're not careful, we'll do that throughout the Lord's day. But we need to work at it. We need to work at it. We are not our mind doesn't rule us. We are to rule our mind. So how do you know that? Because the Bible says that we're to love the Lord thy God with all of our mind. And therefore, we are to be in control of our mind. And you say, well, how do you do that? Well, that's not always easy. The best way is just to try to focus upon the Scriptures as best you can, as much as you can. Now, Christ hath fulfilled the law for His people. Matthew chapter 6. Excuse me, Matthew chapter 5. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now I've got a bunch of other verses of Scripture written down here, but I'm not even going to go there. But I just want to say this. Our redemption was not only by the death of Christ, and it was by His keeping the law also. His active and passive obedience. He kept the law to a jot and a tittle in every way for us. He didn't need to keep it for Himself. He was not sinful. He was sinless. He had no sin. He could not sin. He was impeccable. He was the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But I want us to realize that Him keeping the law was just as important as His death. Now that's not trying to minimize the death, the burial, or the resurrection. It's not trying to minimize anything, but it's trying to show and emphasize that He needed to keep the law in every way, not for Himself, but for us. He fulfilled the law for us. He didn't violate the Sabbath. The Pharisees thought He did, but He didn't. He didn't violate the Sabbath. And we find in that there are certain works of mercy that are acceptable. We may not be able to define all of that. And I'm not going to necessarily try to define all of that through all of this. My main purpose is showing that there is still a Sabbath keeping. There is still a Sabbath. So though Christ did fulfill the law to a jot and a tittle in every way, there's still a Sabbath keeping for the believer. Christ did not commit murder, did He? He fulfilled the law for murder. He fulfilled the law for David who committed murder. He fulfilled the law for David who committed adultery. So since He fulfilled the law for murder and adultery, does that give us the right to commit adultery and murder? Certainly not. And so since He fulfilled the law in also keeping the Sabbath, that doesn't give us the right to do whatever we want to one day in seven. We're to honor Him. There is still a Sabbath keeping. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 4 in our Scripture reading. And we will see that. talking about entering into the rest of God. I'll read verses 4 through 8 in Hebrews 11. No, actually, I will read through, in Hebrews chapter 4, I will read verses 8 through 11. I'll get my numbers in the right order. Hebrews chapter 4, well, I said 8 through 11, I want to read 4 through 11, sorry. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Now we've seen that from Genesis and Exodus and Deuteronomy. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, there he's quoting from Psalm 95, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. And again, in other words, he quoted from another place, and again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now that's talking about entering into the rest of Christ and believing in Christ. Then verse 8, for if Jesus had given them rest, literally that should be Joshua. Because Jesus and Joshua is the same Hebrew word. And so this is talking about Joshua. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? In other words, if Joshua had given rest to the people of God, then God would not, or Joshua would not have spoken of some other day. But Joshua didn't give rest when they went into the land of Canaan. Then verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, let's look at those verses. In verse 8, it talks about a rest. In verse 9, there's the word rest. In verse 10, the word rest. And in verse 11, the word rest is used again. Now here's the uniqueness of it. The word rest in verse 9 is a different Greek word from the word rest in the other verses. And it's only used one time in the New Testament. That word in verse 9 is only used one time in the New Testament. And the word is sabbatismos. Sabbatismos. You hear the Sabbath in it, do you not? It means a Sabbath keeping. And it comes from the Greek word Sabbath. And Sabbath is used 68 times in the New Testament. And it's translated Sabbath day, Sabbath, and I think one time week. All right. But now, God, by inspiration, has told us, and here's what we find, that we are to enter into the rest of salvation in Christ. Verse 8, but though we enter into that rest with the salvation of Christ, there is still a Sabbath keeping in verse 9. But then he goes on to emphasize that we're to enter into that rest of Christ and excuse me, and not try to gain favor with God through our own works. Not even in keeping the Sabbath. Because you're here today, and there are a lot of people out there in the world running around, doesn't make you any better. You still must rest in Christ. Either you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. Either you love Christ or you do not love Christ. And the Scripture says that if you love Christ, you love God. And if you love Christ and God, you love God's people. And if you love Christ and God and God's people, you love God's Word. Now the Scripture are plain. The Scriptures are plain about that. And we've preached that many times. Don't have to stop and preach that now. So here we see that this word rest, there is it. That's not the sabbatismos, the one time in verse 9. The other word is kata parousis, or kata pao. It doesn't even sound like sabbatismos. You don't have to, just your ear can tell you something. You don't have to be a Greek scholar. Now God, by inspiration, used a different word on purpose. Whether you believe Paul or Apollos or somebody else wrote Hebrews, we're not going to argue about that one. It's God's Word. And if it's inspired of God, God used a different word to remind us or to teach us something. And He used it right here in the middle of focusing upon the rest that is found in Christ Jesus. But He says, even though there is that kind of rest, there's still a Sabbath keeping. There's still a Sabbatismos. And you can go and look that up. I want us to see this other word, rest. Look at it in a few places. Look at Acts chapter... Keep your finger in Hebrews while we look in Acts chapter 7. Because I want to come back to Hebrews. Acts chapter 7. And this is the first time that it's used in the New Testament. And this is Stephen's sermon. And in verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? There's the first time that it's used. The next time we find it used is in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Well, that's verse 11. Then in verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So, there's several other passages here in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1, 3, 5, 10, 11, 8. So you find that the word is used, this Greek word for rest, these two Greek words for rest, the kata pasis and kata pao, one's used 9 times, the other's used 4 times, and just about every time it's in the book of Hebrews, where he's emphasizing the rest to the people of God in Christ. But in the midst of that, there's a Sabbath keeping. There's a Sabbatismos. And God is wanting us, I believe, to know that even though we do rest in Christ, there's still a Sabbath that we are to have, a day of rest, referring to the finished work of Christ is basically the whole context there. But we find that we need to have a sabbatismos to remember that rest, as the children of Israel were to remember their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. It's pretty difficult to get up every morning and to set aside some time to read and study, fix your breakfast, get ready, run off to work, work throughout the day, come back home, try to sit down and read and study, you fall asleep, and you know, you've got things to do around the house and so on. It's hard to devote large quality of time to remembering the things of the Lord. Now, it's good that we get up. It's good that we discipline ourselves. It's good that we read and study each day and have our daily reading and our daily devotions and our daily studies and have family worship and things of that nature. It's good to have all of that. But there's nothing like having a day when you can devote to it. And that's what God has given us. And we have to labor at it. We have to labor at it. Sometimes when your body is physically wore out and you've stayed up later than you should on Saturday night, you should always try to get in bed so you be refreshed on the Lord's Day. But it's difficult sometimes to sit there and to stay awake, particularly in the afternoons. You've eaten. All of that food has gone to your stomach. And all of that blood is going to the stomach to try to digest the food, and therefore you do not have as much blood in your head or your brain to keep you alert. And sometimes you see two or three preachers in the pulpit as you try to stay awake. There's sometimes it's a labor in that. But it's still good to have a day when we can come and to reflect upon the goodness and the mercies of God. And if we do find that rest in Christ, if you're truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not trusting anything else for your salvation. And you're not trying to get good enough for God to accept you. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do enough good works for God to accept you. There's no way that any sinner can do enough good works for God to accept them. In fact, He won't even have your good works for acceptance. Your good works are as filthy rags in His sight. All of the good things you do are polluted. All of the good things that you do are polluted. Your worship here today is polluted by your sins. It is only accepted as it is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is all and in all, as the Scriptures say. Now, well, I'm just not going to try to work at anything. If I'm accepted in Christ, I'm not going to do all this other. Well, if you're accepted in Christ, you have a desire to do all the other, and I'm not going into that. So we are to find that rest, but then there's a second rest, or a Sabbath, whereby we worship God because of what He has given us. The Sabbath is that Sabbath that is given at the beginning. Now we want to look at some of the purposes of the Sabbath. We've already tried to sum it up to a little bit, and we'll mainly just be enlarging upon that. And much of this I stole from B.H. Carroll in his commentary of the English Bible. No, I'll take that back. This is from one of his sermons on this subject. B.H. Carroll was a Baptist, Southern Baptist, many years ago, known for his pastoral and teachings and so on. First of all, I want to read from his sermons. No kind of argument from the essential nature of things apart from positive law can ever make the observance of a particular day in the week inherently moral. That must be determined by authority. And in view of human infirmity, God's method has been not to rely upon abstract authority alone in fixing the particular day, but to couple it with some stupendous past event, so making it a memorial, and with some stupendous prospective blessing, so making it a type. Thus, present observance is aided by memory, which awakens gratitude by pointing to a signal blessing in the past, and by hope, which stimulates by pointing to a greater blessing in the future. Now, what Carol is enlarging on is for the point that I made from Deuteronomy, where the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, but in doing so, remember how God delivered you from Pharaoh and the Egyptian bondage. And Carol makes the point here that this Lord's Day is not only is looking at something in the past, but it also aids you and points you to something in the future. So what do we look here each Lord's Day? We look at our deliverance in Christ and for that future blessing of being with Him in glory. You see that. And that's what we do here each Lord's Day. No matter what the sermon is about, whether it's justification, predestination, election, depravity, whether it's the atonement, whether it is loving one another, whether it's children obeying your parents, you know, you can pick any subject that just comes in the Scriptures. All of it focused around Jesus Christ delivering us from our sins and looking toward our redemptive culmination, being with Christ in the glory world forever and forever. It all centers around that. There's no reason for children to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right, other than the fact that we are redeemed by Christ. The common sense would tell it to a great degree. There's no reason that a man is to go to work and to work as unto the Lord and not to work to try to please your boss simply and for the aggrandizement of being advanced in your job. Colossians tells us plainly that when you work, and when you go to work, you're to work heartily as unto the Lord. So we find those injunctions in Scripture are given to us because we are redeemed. There are a lot of things in the Bible that I would not even preach if it were not in the Bible. It seems ridiculous to preach those things unless the Bible has clearly delineated what should be done. I'm not even going to mention any right now, but there are certain things that I would never, ever attempt to preach on if the Bible were not so specific. To me, it doesn't make any sense. Why is it that God in the Old Testament said that you could eat a chicken, but not a hog? Both of them are scavengers. You say, well, modern medicine says this and says that and so on and so forth. Well, modern medicine may say a lot of things. But it does, you know, it just, you can try to come up with modern medicine, but God said, I want you to eat this one. I don't want you to eat that one. That one's clean. That one's not clean. Well, what made the chicken clean and the hog unclean? God said so. And that's it. They'll both eat anything. They'll both eat anything. All right. Creation was the first stupendous event. Carol says, talking about this, that there was a stupendous event past, so making it a memorial, and some stupendous prospective blessing, so making it a type. All right, but creation was the first stupendous event. God rested from His work of creation and established a day of rest for man's benefit. We've already read Genesis chapter 2, but look in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Jesus speaking, and He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. God did not create you to be a slave to the Sabbath. He created the Sabbath to be a blessing for you. Notice that. The Sabbath was created for man. It was created for man's benefit. He didn't create man for the Sabbath. He didn't come along and say, well, now I've got a Sabbath here, now I've got to create man in order to keep my Sabbath. No, He created the universe, and then He created man, and He said, I've ordained one day in seven for man's benefit. The Sabbath is to be a blessing and a benefit for you. And that is a stupendous event He established for that. The background of this was creation, and the foreground was the rest that Adam would have in paradise in obedience. If Adam had not sinned, of course we can speculate as to what would have happened. The covenant theologian folks, and a lot of Baptists that are influenced by that, says that if Adam had not sinned, then everybody would have been kept sinless in paradise. Well, I don't see how that could be, because Eve sinned before Adam did, and she was already a sinner before Adam was. I think the best that we could say that if Adam had not sinned, then as long as he did not sin, he would have lived in the blessed place. And God could have easily gotten rid of Eve and made another wife for him. But that's all speculation. You know, we can speculate of what might have been, or what could have been, what God could have done, or maybe some might say what He should have done. But you don't tell God what He should have done. But the point is that man had a blessed state by keeping the law. And he only had one. He only had one. You've got a garden here planted with a lot of delicious things to eat. You can eat of every one of them. But this one, don't eat that one. What did he do? He ate that one. What do you do? Instead of enjoying what God's given you, you want it your way. You want what you want instead of what God wants a lot of times. That's the sin that's in us. But the background was creation in this stupendous event, because God created in 6 days, He rested one. The background was creation. The promise was rest. Was rest in obedience. Well, we'll have to get the other stupendous events and look at them later. Let's pray. Father, help us to really appreciate having one day to rest from all of our other labors and to focus on You. Help us to enjoy it. And help us to use this day in a holy way of drawing nigh to You. Enjoying You. Enjoying what You have done. And looking forward to what You're going to do. Thank You for the Holy Scriptures. Give us wisdom in understanding them. In Jesus' name, Amen.